I want to share with you the easy peasy guide to success. Wow. And my scripture text this week's in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. This is about the temptation of Jesus. You know, that's what makes Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, our perfect intercessor. Not only was he God, experiencing everything we do, physically, spiritually, up to and including death, he was tempted also, just like you and I are tempted. But he had the guide to success. Satan, get thee behind me. I want to share that with you in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, New Living Translation 1 through 13. And then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness where the devil tempted him for 40 days. He ate nothing all that time and was very hungry. Then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, change this stone into a loaf of bread." But Jesus told him, "No. The scriptures say people need more than bread for their life." Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil told him, "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, because they're mine to give to anyone that I please. And I will give it all to you if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus replied, "The scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say he orders his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you with their hands to keep you from striking your foot on a stone." Jesus responded, "Hey there, devil. The scriptures also say, do not test the Lord your God." This is the one that I always like, because we think once Jesus got past this, then he didn't have temptation anymore. Verse 13, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. So Jesus was exposed to the devil tempting him the whole time he was here on this earth. Well, let's look at the easy peasy guide to success. You might have heard this term, "The dog ate my homework." I don't know if you ever used that excuse in school or not, but it was always a pretty good one. And maybe the dog did eat your homework. That did happen to us during the Christmas, when our little bulldog Trigger found a Christmas card that I dropped for Judy, and he got a hold of it and he took it off and he ate it. But "the dog ate my homework" isn't the standard for shifting blame for an undone assignment, is it? We adults have similar mantras. "The devil made me do it." I don't remember that comedian, Flip Wilson, I think. And the simple phrase suffices for almost anything that we don't want to take responsibility for, or that we want to avoid opening it up. Well, except that little phrase at least attests to the fact that something was done. The homework excuse means that nothing was done at all. And this is the case of avoidance to the ninth degree. Sadly, discipleship today leans more towards blaming the dog than the devil, although a case could be made for both. For many, the discipleship journey may be most like stowing away on a ship. You know, the stowaway doesn't take part in the work of hoisting the sails and scrubbing the decks or steering the boat or maneuvering the storms, but only is along for the ride. It's the ultimate just slipping by, if you would. Now, I think most of us, and I include myself on this, that we are on a journey. But the way we travel in our discipleship adventure smacks more of the stowaway than all hands on deck. Well, we like to observe the journey more than taking part in the journey, don't we? We want to take it easy. We want the easy way out. And the discipleship route is that requires not too much effort, no sweat and toil or commitment. We don't want to get our hands dirty, but we want to be a part of this, and we don't want it to take too much time out of our lives. You see, more interesting distractions or a promise of a quicker, easier route to our destination can easily lure us off course. I have a tendency to gawk around when I'm driving to my destination. And sometimes Judah say, "Get back on the road." And I said, "Well, I just wanted to see what was over there." I think all of us have difficulty telling the difference between our true direction and our false promises. I think one of the most legendary tales in the world, and it's a named masterpiece of an Italian literature, and it's the story of Pinocchio. And it was written by Carlo Collodati in 1883. The episode series, The Adventures of Pocono, was made into an animated film by Walt Disney when he was still alive in 1940. If you remember the story, an old Italian woodcarver named Gepetto, you know who I mean. Judy told me the other day when I said, "You know the story of Pocono?" And she first thing she blurted out was, Gepetto. Anyhow, he was the one who carved a wooden puppet. He named Pinocchio. The puppet is brought to life by a fairy who tells Pinocchio that he can become a real boy if he proves himself to be brave, truthful, and unselfish. And to help him, she gave him a cricket as his conscience. However, old Pinocchio quickly goes off on his own, encountering various unsavory characters who consistently lead him off course and get him into trouble. And when he lies about his escapades, his nose grows longer and longer and longer. And then finally, Pinocchio, with the help of Jiminy Cricket, escapes in his wayward plight and returns home, only to find Geppetto has gone a sea looking for him. Then he realized that since he's been gone, he's been swallowed up by a monstro, a huge ship-eating whale. Well, Pinocchio jumps into the sea and rescues his father. He, too, is swallowed by the whale. Together, they make the whale sneeze, and they're cast out into the sea onto a small raft. Angry Monstrato smashes the raft. Pinocchio selfishly pulls Geppetto to safety on the shore, but sacrifices him in the process. Geppetto carries Pinocchio's lifeless form back home, where the blue fairy revives him, and in doing so, turns him into a real boy. Now, while that story itself is fictional, and I kind of butcher up the words, but like many of the early stories in our years, it smacks of biblical metaphors. Think of the Lion King and many others. But from his time, him being Pinocchio, his time in the whale to change from a false wooden heart to a flesh and blood, authentic, true heart. Pinocchio echoes what it means to be a true person of God and a true disciple of Jesus and a repentant soul, tested and tried by hardship in a sacrificial spirit. But instead of a blue fairy, of course, our scriptures tell us that God has made us this discipleship promise to those who commit authentically to God. God said, "I will remove the heart of stone from your body and give you a heart of flesh. A new heart I will give you and a new spirit I will put within you." Ezekiel 36:26. So as we look at the scripture today about the devil tempting Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days as we start off the Lenten season of 40 days, offering him to make an easy way out of the mission that he means to undertake, the devil tempts Jesus to use his miraculous power to feed himself. To pursue superficial but easy means of power, and even uses scripture to lure him. Jesus, into testing whether his mission is really valid, whether God's truly behind it, and whether God even cares about him, him being Jesus. And he challenged the sacrifice that Jesus means to make and invites him to take the easy way out, Jesus. And as we know, Jesus declined. But later, he will challenge his own disciple Peter when he makes a similar suggestion with, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You see, the road of discipleship, more importantly, Jesus' discipleship road, is paved with difficulty, challenges, and sometimes pain. To get to the promised land, the people of God had to go through the desert, drought, disaster, to get to the everlasting life. Jesus needed to take up a cross and walk a lonely, snare-filled route, fulfilled, and to be also filled with betrayal and pain on this road. All real discipleship takes both authority and investment, love and commitment, and exactly because it isn't easy. There's no easy peasy. Like the story of Isaac, and he laid upon the sacrificial rock. Jesus' story and his disciples' story is a coming-of-age story, if you would. Like Isaac, like Pinocchio, and like Jesus, we must be willing to sacrifice our own hearts and lives for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of the gospel, the good news. And in this, we are redeemed and saved. And in doing so, we become authentic disciples and the gift and the gain of eternal life. Peter Scazzio, in his book Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, challenges our easy-peasy way of doing discipleship in our churches and lives today. Having gone through the pearls and the temptation of the easy road himself, he now spends his life helping others. Go deep and real into the true meaning of discipleship, he writes, that true discipleship means to reject popularity, gradism, successism, and to embrace suffering and even failure in the name of Jesus. Wow, we don't think about failure in the name of Jesus, but all those isms give us a challenge. And we must open ourselves up to the authentic relationship and the willingness to engage in sacrificial giving. Like Honest John, the double-faced fox in the Pinocchio story, easy-peasy discipleship is the stuff of liars and untruth-tellers. The devil himself is a person of lies, who tells us that we can take an easier way to discipleship, that we don't need to put out very much. That is, it can't be that hard. Just do good things, and don't do anything terrible. Pursue successes in life and be as great as we can be. Just take part in a little mission, you know, here and there. Attend worship once a week. Set goals and then try to follow them. And give to the poor. And then we do all these things. We simply can hop aboard, stow away in a neat little corner and ride out our discipleship journey in peace. No sweat, no tears, no effort, no big deal. Just follow the easy-peasy road. The road discipleship is not an easy way out. It requires deep levels of commitment. As I mentioned, enduring trust in God's mission, the willingness to sacrifice our very lives for the sake of the gospel and making God the centerpiece of our life. Jesus warned us of several times in the scriptures that doing these things may cause us discomfort. It might even cause us grief, and it might cause some pain. And that's why he said to his inner circle, "Are you sure you want to drink from this cup?" Well, Jesus' cup is the cup of sacrifice. And Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He gave up his very life to cover the sins of all people. You know how many that is? All. The sacrificial heart of Lent means that when we come to drink of the cup of Jesus, we're not only joined with him at that table, we join him in his journey. Oh, we'll scrub the decks, hoist the sails, chart the course, steer the ship in the direction Jesus wants us to go. No matter the storms or the winds or the ferocity of the deep waters, we must persevere, trusting in our destination. What is our destination? Eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. So today, as we come forward to the table of the Lord, put your heart in his hands, and as Robert Frost would say, take the road less traveled. Now, it may not be easy, but the destination will be worth it, and Jesus will never lead you astray. Father, we thank and praise you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to enter into another Lenten season as we look back in our lives and see what we need to do, how we should do to become better disciples. And we give you the glory. And thank you for the listeners of this online service. Hope and pray we encourage you today for this Lenten season as you prepare to participate in any way that you can. Have a wonderful, blessed day. Amen.